start to have problems. You'll be able to, whether you need to put your shack on the end of the house or in the middle of the house, you're just going to have to try it. So don't get real fancy with your coax installation until after you on the house for your shack. That's about it. Oh, the other, one more thing. On the loop antenna, that's a very narrow bandwidth antenna. Do not use the tuner in your radio. You turn the antenna tuner off on the radio. You just use the switches on the control box to adjust that loop. Very, very touchy. And you're only going to get, you know, maybe 20 kilohertz before you have to retune it again. The WR meter on your 480 to see that time. But you'll probably end up using the antenna in the attic more because you don't have... Anyway, those are my comments. K2BARWI2W.
Yeah, I never thought about the RF issue, but antenna theory says that if I'm in the center of the house, I'm going to be at the maximum current point and have the maximum radiation directly over my head. If I'm at the end of the house, I can do two things. One is I'm at the minimum radiation point, and I can bring the antenna wire out the wall and maybe 6-8 feet over, so I'm a little bit farther away. So that would minimize the problem. Now, as far as the current chokes, I agree with you. You can go to the Palmer Engineering website. I got their one that they rate for 160 meters. I got four of the units. Each unit consists of 10 beads. For 80 meters, they say that you can use 5 beads. So I figure I'm going to have enough chokes. I'm going to put full 10 beads at the feed point and full 10 beads at the radio end, and then use 5 beads to break up the antenna, the feed line lace into non-resonant sections. But you bring up a good point for that. And I'm trying to remember what the other thing was. The loop antenna. What I was going to do with the loop antenna is basically use that for receiving, so I suspect I'll be a little bit better off as far as bandwidth is concerned on receiving, especially with that 480RX, because it's a pretty hot receiver. My plans are to basically use the antenna on the ceiling for transmitting loop antennas. For one thing, it's too close to me, and it bothers them because I'd be using the Armstrong method to rotate it. So I don't intend to really transmit except maybe to get it to tune up, and that's what I'll do. So I'm going to be safe as possible. I do have a Steelstrake meter, an ancient one from Radio Shack that they used in the CB days. It has a little antenna on it, and I'll bring that with me and just... have somebody key the radio on CW and walk around and see what it, the field strength is in the house. It'll give me a rough indication and see if I can find a null. Thank you for your help. KTBR to Centurio.
One more comment.
That's it.
So, Noel, on the 480, there's a tune button in the upper left-hand corner. You can adjust the transmit power on that tune button to be 5 watts. So you can get 5 watts setting real easily by tune your loop up with, operate the switches to change the capacitor back and forth. So you want to set that tune button for 5 watts, and then you want K2BARWI2W.
Gene already did that.
Noel? Noel, what's your radio again?
480RX, and WO2W already adjusted it that way because he was using it with the loop antenna.
That sounds great. That sounds super. Alrighty. The other thing you can consider is this. I often operate in the outdoors in a manner very similar to what your house is like. And I don't have the absorbent characteristics of the house, you know, the isolation that the house would afford, you know, however minimal. And I gotta tell you, I do pretty well. You get that isolator on the back of that radio, and, you know, if the antenna design allows for it, also one at the feed point, you're gonna do fine. You're gonna have very little problem. reality of coax-induced or even antenna-induced stuff. I mean, if you have stuff that comes back into your microphone or your foot switch and things like that, it'll probably be because your antenna got into something else that then in turn conducted the RF and if you will re-radiated it to those other elements of your transceiver or your station. So don't panic too much. It'll all be fine. And as far as RF safety goes, even you, like me, who tends to be a bit long-winded, will not exceed the duty cycle in single sideband of RF exposure in a 30-minute period. So I don't think it's a big problem. If you run a constant carrier mode, such as PSK31 or something, you're going to be reducing your power to 20 watts or less anyway. So you're going to be good. So anybody else have any comments for Noel?
N2OEL, timeout, W2TTT, disconnected.
Alrighty. Anybody else have anything that they'd like to add to this topic before we move on? Alrighty, well then let's move on. Who's our next candidate contributor, Mr. Randy?
That was all we had on the list so far.
Okay, did Steve have a question? And did he ask it? I know he had a comment, but he had a question as well?
Asked and answered.
Okay, that was the one I got on the transition in the house, that's right. Alrighty, well, if you're listening, if you're interested in getting some solar panels, I will have the three that I bought at the Fairlawn Club tomorrow night, and if you want to take a look at them, you're welcome to. I'm going to bring my charge controller along and probably a battery. I'm going to probably bring them on the trailer for now. And Noel, your trailer is very good, and it's about to get a slight remake, but nothing major, except for some metal framework to extend a platform for a pivot point for an aluminum tower that I have, and also for some solar panels. So it should be pretty exciting. And I look forward to showing it to you in 5 months when you come back. Anybody want information on that, they can just send me a note at w2ttt@awrl.net, or they can look for my phone number online, and usually just look for my call sign. You usually find my my phone number and a signature of a posted email on the internet. Or if somebody can use, welcome to give it to you if they have it. Alrighty, let's see, what else? The nets are recorded. They're on amateurradio.tangovector. The ComTech group is our website. It's Charlie Oscar Mike, Tango Echo Charlie Hotel, Golf Romeo Oscar Uniform Papa, ComTech group, all smushed together on Yahoo groups. If you can't find that again, send me an email at w2ttt@awrl.net, and we'll be happy to forward that information to you. Are there any other questions, comments, concerns for the next before we secure?
W2JEK.
Sir Don.
One thing I've been talking about the VE testing is that this is the year that the general question pool will change as July 1st. People studying current question material should get studying and do their testing before the end of June. And if you get the new book, the new question pool study material, then you're going to have to wait until after July 1st to take the test. You can't study the one, you can't study the old stuff and take the new test or vice versa. Another thing that Steve was mentioning, the Arab meeting, February meeting will be the second Sunday on February 8th because of the Super Bowl, which is the first Sunday. The meeting on Arab meeting will be February 8th. Heard that at the meeting the other night. Back to that, W2JEK.
Alrighty, very good. If there's anybody interested in attending the what do you call it, the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club brunch, which is on Sunday the 8th at 11 o'clock in the morning. It's the annual affair. Tickets are $30, and we welcome people participating and coming to that. That's always a fun time. My bride has to go to a shower, a wedding shower, a bridal shower, that day. So I will be going stag to this fine, auspicious gathering at 11 o'clock in the morning. So February 8th is going to be a very festive day, because it'll start off with the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club brunch at 11 in the morning, home to do some interesting things, and then out in the evening to the Barra meeting, so it'll be fun. So if anyone likes or wants information about that, you've got till I think the 23rd of this month or 24th of this month to decide. You can shoot me a note, or I can get you the information as to who to contact, but we'd love to have you there. Any other comments for the net?
KB2
and got preempted by the echo link. Say again.
Hey Gordon, it's Ken, KB2SSE.
Hey Ken.
Yeah, I have a quick question to either you or Randy regarding the ubiquity. If you want to bridge a 2.4 gig to a 900 megahertz, can you do that to a regular Ethernet switch? Or is there some special things that needs to be done? Or where can I find the information?
You can, and it's that's actually, if you go to Broadband Hamnet or bbhn.org, right on the front page, they'll lead you to what's supported. And yes, you can back-to-back those, and there are plenty of guys who can help you with that. That's fairly straightforward. It does require, well, it's strongly suggested that you use a managed switch, you know, 802.11q supporting switch. But B&H Photo had them for $35 for the 8-port switch the other day, so I don't think that's a big deal, but you can actually connect them back-to-back if you want. You can even put them on a hub. As long as you're not trying to do anything real fancy beyond that, they will work. Randy, did you want to correct and or augment that?
Yes, thank you. This is Whiskey Uniform 2 Sierra. Yeah, what is required is an Ethernet switch that is VLAN trunking capable, or 802.1Q is the spec, and a very readable and helpful source of information for setting up such a switch to enable back-to-back connections of two different Ubiquiti nodes is Clint Anderson's website. He has a brief blog. If you just Google for AE5CA, that's Alpha Echo 5 Charlie Alpha, Clint's explanation of using a Netgear GS105E switch and how to configure it is very clear and helpful, and the same concept can be applied to other .1Q capable switches. Back to net control.
Okay, does that answer your question, Ken?
Yes, thank you, gentlemen. Well, it's nothing, something that is I want to try right away, but I'm working on a couple of experiments. I have a couple of 2.4 gig air, what I call the Ubiquiti air grids. I'm going to try to establish a link from my house up to our repeater site on top of Skyline Drive once we're done with our little tower project. If that would work, I would like to see if we could get maybe down to Garrett Mountain, but that would probably be better with a... I thought about using a 900 megahertz on that one. I don't know if there's any 900 megahertz on the Garrett Mountain Tower, so we could get some throughput from the upper part of the county down to the EOC, but that's something I work with the Ringwood OEM on, and going ahead steadily the weather has sort of put a stick in the wheel on our tower project, so that's on hold right now. But I appreciate the information, and I will look into it. KB2SSC.
One other thing is that if you find that you can't make it on 2.4 between your house and the mountain, go ahead and try the 900. If you want, I might be able to run by there in the next couple of weeks and test out the... I can do a frequency sweep to see how much 900 meg background RF there is and what part of the 900 meg band it's in. I could sit there for 15 minutes with an antenna with my recording spectrum analyzer and see what the max hold is on in that spectrum. So even if the stuff is spread spectrum and it's intermittent and the like, we can find we can generally we can't decode it, but we can tell whether it's there even if it's not a normal Wi-Fi signal. So I can do that for you if you want. In fact, if you want to coordinate and drive me up to the site, or meet me at the site and we'll drive in, we'd be happy to see what's there on your site. The Garrett Mountain site and the site in on Oldham Road will be swept, as well as a few others, in the next couple of days and or week. The real question is, how much can I get done before the trip Friday to the Naval Academy with my scouts? So, but if it doesn't get done by about Wednesday, and report it out next Thursday at the TechNet, it'll get done by the following one, I'm sure. So there you go. KB2SSC, KTBR.
Yeah, okay, Gordon. Yeah, no, this is probably a little further out. I have a couple of busy weekends here in January. It's probably going to be late February, before I'm ready for anything. It can get put on the back burner for now.
Excellent. Okay. We can certainly take care of that, and we can have that RF profiling done long before then. Anybody else? Now, one of the reasons why we want to get a site, one or two sites over in Eastern Bergen County squared away is because we ultimately want to link down to Essex County to Mark's and to MH's place over in West Orange. He's got limited visibility, mostly east and south from his home. And if 2.4 doesn't work, 900 might. So we suspect we're going to have our share of 900. But the problem is the opportunity for 900 conflicts is pretty high. So you have to actually sweep it to see, A, can you get away with it? B, what the noise floor is going to be? And see how wide you can go and what your center frequency has to be in order to avoid collisions with other services in that spectrum. So there we go. Anybody else? All righty. Well, thank you, Ken, for that last question, and Randy for your elaboration. And we'll get rocking on this stuff. By the way, for these link sites, I would really strongly advise that people use Ubiquiti gear and don't play with GS nodes, Linksys GS nodes. Linksys GS nodes are great for things indoors, portable, and the like. They're not so great, in vehicle work. You know, they're all good for that. Not so good for long scale linking. Although there is one on the side of my house with an amplifier. And it has been known to be heard at Garrett Mountain, but we've never had a permanent site at Garrett Mountain up to this point, so we'll see how that's going to fly. I'd be happy if it would just get heard at St. John's when I get the node back up there at Bergenfield at the school, but that'll happen when it's a little warmer. All right, thanks everybody for your contributions tonight. It was a very exciting net, and I want to wish you all a happy new year. Oh, if you missed that last week, and I look forward to seeing you at Carillon tomorrow night and on the ComTech Group email list. So this is K2BAR W2TTT, signing clear and returning the repeater to normal amateur radio use. 7-3.
Breaking. So I took a chance, basically, and it could have been as much as a 20% chance that I would have died on the operating table, which death's odds are not so great, you know. But they did a cardiac stress test. They decided it was good enough. So, anyways, I survived. WCTTN.
Okay, God bless, and take care in 7-3. And 2OEL, W2TTT, travel safe.
KC2YJV call.
In fact, I'm here. Good morning, but I'm a little busy putting tires on right now.
All right. Well, Happy New Year anyway. I just wanted to jump on and say Happy New Year.
Okay, pal. Let me try to get this first tire on. I'm having a little bit of a problem. They're pretty stiff. KD2BR.
KD2YJV. Pontiac Sunfire, and I'm losing antifreeze. I have to put in every week, but I don't smell it burning or nothing.
You find any on the ground?
None.
Wow. Nothing on the ground, and you're losing how much a week?
About a quarter of a gallon. Well, the whole reservoir anyway.
What engine's in that?
2.4 liter. It's not coming out the exhaust. Not getting any puddles. I can't figure out where it's going.
Wow. Is that a twin cam motor to 2.4?
I think it's a single cam, I'm not sure. But all I know is that it's a 2.4 liter four cylinder. It was a crate motor about a year ago, brand new. And they won't take the warranty because it only covers the original owner. I was thinking maybe intake manifold gasket.
Now stand by, I'm looking something up.
The passenger floor is dry, the heater core isn't leaking.
Heater core wouldn't leak on the passenger floor anyway. It would leak outside the AC drain. If that's the type, I gotta look at it. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. I appreciate this, Rock.
Got a new antenna for Christmas, and it's too cold to put it up. Always the way.
The other half get it for you?
That was a combination between the gift certificates I had for Christmas from HRO and eBay, and my birthday money. I picked up a standalone Comet CA Super 22, 220 only.
You gonna put it up on the garage?
It's the only place I can put it up. She don't want nothing there, and I'm pushing my luck with my landlord. I got the Antron 99, which she allowed. But the other day, I had an extra Diamond 7900 dual band mobile antenna. I took the magnetic mount from my Wilson 1000. I pounded a 6-foot pole into the ground. I put a metal plate on top of it. And now I'm hitting repeaters a heck of a lot better. Better than the antenna being down below grade.
Okay, let's know. Well, that's a good thing.
82 BORs. Is it GT?
Yes, it is. And there's no coolant in the oil at all.
That car requires taking the steering column out and the whole dashboard to do a heater core on that car. Oh my God.
It's not the heater core. Believe me, I checked everywhere. I'm not even getting a drip. On the motor, nothing. I know it was a long block when it came, but I'm not too sure if the intake was on it when it came from the factory. So I'm thinking they put the intake on and didn't torque it down enough, and it's leaking a little bit into one of the cylinders.
That's a quad four motor. They've had issues with the cylinder heads on them, head gaskets. You might not be seeing it out your tailpipe because we are getting steam out of the tailpipe now since it's so cool, but that's not a very good motor, that quad four.
Is that a dual overhead cam?
They made single cam and they made dual cam quad fours. I'm trying to get a picture of it.
Well, all I know is that I had the head gasket tested and they said it's not the head gasket. Because they did it through the reservoir bottle or something like that?
What'd they do? Pressure check it or use that special tool to see if you're getting any combustion into the cooling system?
Special tool to see if there's any combustion going in.
Wow. You gotta do a little bit more searching. I haven't seen a quad four in many, many years, and I got nothing in troubleshooter tips or anything here.
The only thing I could think of is it's minutely, because I keep getting a cat not up to efficiency warning. So I'm thinking that it's leaking into one of the cylinders through the intake manifold.
Yeah, I'm looking a few things up here. I don't know what the heck is, I'm surprised you're not seeing anything. It's got to be going out the exhaust. If you can't find a leak nowhere, it's got to be going out the exhaust somewhere.
Even in warm weather, I see a little bit of condensation coming out the exhaust. And once the car's running for a while, it stops. So I'm thinking it's got to be going into a cylinder head.
I would imagine so.
But they said it's not a head gasket, so could it be the intake manifold gasket?
Don't have much. they start taking stuff away as the newer models come out. They don't have much on a 99 anymore here.
Well, I'm thinking that it's leaking a little bit, getting sucked down into the intake and just burning off.
Let me see what kind of intake is on this. I'm sure, I don't have much.
I'm sure it's going to cost me a pretty penny to have an intake manifold gasket done.
Knowing those motors, I still lead to the head or a gasket. I don't care what anybody checked out.
Could it be the intake manifold gasket, though?
Trying to see what kind of manifold's on it. I can't find anything here. Hold on.
Because I figured if it was a head gasket, he would be getting something back to the reservoir with hydrocarbon.
I'm looking at an intake manifold gasket in the Napa site. It doesn't tell me anything. The coolant goes through any one of the manifold ports.
I can't figure out where it's going in. I have no idea.
Why a lot of those cars aren't on the road anymore, especially with that motor. They all went to the boneyard.
I thought the 2.4s were good motors. They use them in the Saturns and everything.
There's many different versions of 2.4 engines. I do not think they used that engine in a Saturn. Even Saturn had problems with their version of a twin cam motor. With the cylinder heads cracking.
Well, how would I find out if there's no carbons blowing back into the reservoir bottle?
That's tough. I can't believe they can't read anything in a coolant bottle, because if you don't show any leakage on the ground, nowhere, it's got to be internal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. And the only thing I can think of is maybe the reservoir bottle's cap is on there super tight. But I'm thinking is maybe it's vaporizing out of that?
I highly doubt it. Any car that had a reservoir that didn't have a screw-on cap, you didn't lose that much antifreeze in a week. It doesn't vaporize that fast.
I don't know what it is. It's driving me out of my mind, though. Because I can't find anything wrong with it. Even in the slightest bit of... Even in the summertime, I was getting condensation coming out the exhaust, like a little bit when it first started, a little bit of the, steam.
Now, I don't know what else to tell you, Vic. It sounds like to me it's got an internal engine problem. That's what I would boil it down to.
Yeah, I hear you. It's a shame. It's a good little car. It's good on gas and everything. Just can't figure out... Because, you know, I sat down by the exhaust and I sniffed real deep and everything and didn't smell any of that honeycomb smell or nothing.
KD2BOR. Well, you've had somebody put it up on the left and seriously look all over for a coolant leak and they can't find one, then it's got to be internal. There's nothing else it can be.
I know. I gotta send it into a shop or something, have it checked over. It's making me tear my hair out. There's no knocks, no pings, no ticks, no nothing. The oil's clean. I just can't figure it out. Unless it's not making it, unless it's burning off in the cylinder, that's the only thing I can think of.
When you start it up after driving it for a long time and it completely cools down, does it start up with no misfires or does it shake a little bit?
I don't know what I just did there. It's never registered a misfire, ever.
You know what the problem is? If it needs any type of drastic repair, a cylinder head or anything like that, the car's not worth it. It's bottom line, it's not worth it.
Well, I just bought it this summer for $2,000, so it's going to have to be worth it.
The only way you could be sure on that, you would have to have somebody see if Jasper makes a motor and you put a complete motor in it, because you can't keep playing with that cylinder head that's on there.
But
was a brand new factory motor, brand spanking new. It only has about 4,000 miles on it, but they told me they will not honor the warranty because it was only towards the original owner.
How long of a warranty has been put on it?
It was a 6-year warranty, and it was by KSW or KWA or something out of California.
That's probably one of them fondue park insurance companies. They're bad.
What do you mean?
You're talking about the insurance company, is that name you said?
No, that was the speed shop that the motor was ordered from.
But it was a General Motors, sure it was a General Motors engine?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a General Motors engine. It was a long block new motor for 1400 that was ordered.
1400 does not sound like it was a brand new long block. That sounds like more like a remanufactured price.
Well, even remanufactured, it shouldn't have a problem after just a couple thousand miles.
I could give you a better answer, but I can't, Vic.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm going to have the shop down by me here. Take a look. If I got to put 500 into it, then I'll put 500 into it.
Not in there yet. N1LU, 82 BOR.
Morning, Vic. Good morning, Rocky. 82 BOR. Geez, Vic, you haven't been on in so long, I've forgotten your call. But anyway, I'm going to stop at the mobile station. I need a cup of coffee today, and I got to pick up something for my phone charger. Hopefully they have it. I'll be back in a minute. N1LU. Go ahead, Rock. ACJV, that's it.
Boy, you didn't even have your coffee yet, and the brain cells started working. All right, I'll be right back myself. KD2, be alarmed.
N1LU Mobile.
Go ahead, Charlie. KD2, BOR.
Got this little cigarette lighter plug that, you know, plugs into the jack for the accessory to charge my phone. But it's such a cheap piece of junk. It actually, I just found out today, because normally there's not a signal on when I'm charging it. It actually attenuates the signal coming in to this radio. I could barely hear you guys when I got on the Merit. I'm saying something's not right. So I unplugged it, and all of a sudden you guys came in crystal clear. It's really... So I had to buy something to charge my phone at work.
I don't trust any of those car chargers. Years ago when I had a... before this phone, I had another one, and I bought a car charger. I went out and put it in my car, and I went back in where I was. I came back out. I'm lucky my car didn't catch on fire. That's how hot the phone was.
Yeah, I think you take a chance when you get an aftermarket for these phones. Some of these phones need certain voltage, I guess, or current or something. And if they don't get it, they act up. But I've never had that happen. I mean, I've had, you know, car chargers for my phones for a long time for all my different cars, and I've never had it interact that badly with my radio where it attenuates the signal coming in.
My phone was almost dead one day, and somebody had a charger in the drawer, and it had the same mini USB on it, so I plugged it in. As soon as I plugged it in, it came up on the phone screen. This charger is not compatible with this phone. The only one I use is the charging thing that came with it.
Yeah, I never bought a car charger for this Galaxy 5, so I'm going to have to look around and try to get find one.
Isn't it easier just to plug your phone in when you get home? Because that's what I do at the shop here every couple days. Well, I don't have a smartphone, so don't go dead as quick. But every couple days, I plug mine in. I just keep the charger at the shop, and I plug it in when I get in here.
Yeah, I have one right on my nightstand, and that's my normal routine, but I forgot to do it last night. So when I got up, the phone was only 40%, and I don't have anything at work to charge it with. So I had to charge it in the car, and that's when I had the problem. So that's why I picked up this jack that I can plug into an AC wall socket, and it's got a USB coming off of it. I got the cable at work. Just don't have, actually I have the cable here in the car. I just don't have anything that, somebody stole it at work, so I had to get another one.
Isn't that a B-I-T-C-H that somebody steals your charger at work? My God, they're not that expensive.
No, they're not. Yeah, it really does scratch my butt.
I don't know if you got one yet, but Steve, I got it in the mail. Steve sent me one of his new QSL cards.
Yeah, I got it yesterday. It was very nice. He uses nice paper. I don't know if that's photo paper or just glossy or regular paper. I'm not sure what he's using.
Put a picture of your cat sitting in that yellow box, and that's that glossy paper that Debbie has, too. I think that's real photo paper.
Yeah, that's, I don't know if I'd do that if I was sending out as many QSL cards as he does. I dropped down to 10 watts. You copy me, okay?
No problem.
All right, I was getting that noise again, that little buzzing sound when I key up. I find it happens if I key up with the HD in the car. It's coming from under the dash. I thought it was the radio that was buzzing. But it's the car is buzzing somewhere.
Well, sounds like the RF is interfering with something, which is very possible.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, it's the first car it's ever done it on. I'll think about that when I have to get another one.
N10U, KD2BOR. Well, according to you, your next car is going to be after you retire.
Yeah, I got my fingers crossed on that one.
In your garage, did you put a new piece of cardboard down to make sure nothing's dripping off that car anymore?
No, that's probably a good idea. I'll have to do that today. Let it sit over the weekend and see what happens.
Yeah, I got four tires to put on here. I got a Jeep. I still got to figure out what's wrong with it. And I got an S10 Blazer. Wonderful job. I got to put a fuel pump in it. You got to take the gas tank out in order to do that.
Oh, that's always fun. I've never actually done that, but you got a nice shop with two lifts like that and plenty of room to move around. I mean, I've been in that other guy's shop that used to change my oil from down the road, right across the street from, what the hell's it called? Candlewick Diner. He's got two bays, but I tell you, you're cramped as hell in there.
Sounds to me like that was an old-time gas station at one time, and those bays were very small.
Or maybe it was a foreign car shop, because foreign cars tend to be smaller. I'm thinking the old-time cars, they were a lot bigger.
What temperature you got? I had 15 when I came out this morning, and it didn't move.
Oh, wow. I've got 23. I got my shorts on.
You're nuts.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't have my shorts on, but it's 23. It was 40 in my garage. That's nice. I think it was 38 the other day when it was 8 degrees out, so it's quite a difference. In the garage, that's because my garage is below grade, and I think that helps a lot. It's got insulation on one, two, three sides.
I've only seen a picture of the front of your house once. I never took notice that the garage is below grade.
Yeah, if you enter my garage, on the left side of my garage, the left wall of my garage is my basement wall. The back of my garage, straight ahead, would be my backyard. But know, below ground. And on the right side is the side yard, underground to an extent. And then there's a side door there too, so it's pretty well insulated.
How's that snowblower? Have you started it?
Hey, you're sounding like my wife.
I don't know if I'm sounding like her, but I would imagine you would have tried to start it and not wait for the first snowstorm.
That's my MO. Put my hat and gloves on, get it in position, plug it in because I still haven't fixed the full start, and cross my fingers. Say, come on, baby, start.
I thought I was a procrastinator. I think you got me well beat.
I got the heavyweight championship belt for procrastination hanging in my bedroom wall.
Well, I don't know if I'd want to be on the radio the next morning when you had to shovel your driveway.
No, I wouldn't either. Yeah, I probably should get around to it. I know we've got snow coming today, but nothing significant. Well, you know I'll get on it as soon as I hear there's a major snowstorm headed our way. It's usually what I wait for.
I decided to use the new coax on a new antenna. Everything is working at home, so I'm just going to leave well enough alone.
Yeah, that's always a good idea if you're putting up a new antenna. Try to put on new coax, or at least coax that you know is working with whatever antenna's on there. Yeah, that's the other thing I'm going to have to buy is a run of coax, a pretty long run of coax from the that big chimney. That's all the way in the back of the house, you know. And I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna want to run it halfway, stealthily. That's a word. So I'm gonna need probably 100, 150 feet of coax to do a good job. And unfortunately, it's that expensive stuff. I can't get away with RG8 for VHF.
I've always used RG58. X, not 58, RG8X. I've always had good luck with it. The only time I ever used RG8 was back in my 11-meter days. We were going to my Starduster antenna. I had RG8 on that, but then everything in my car, you know, everywhere, I've used RG8X. It seems to be a pretty good coax.
What I'd really like to use is the LMR-400. You know, that's expensive. That's over $1 a foot, I think.
That's the big stuff, if I'm not mistaken. Just like the 8, right?
Yeah, that's a half inch or so. Yeah, that's pretty good. Around a half an inch, yeah. That's a good coax that you that people recommend for VHF. I just saw a guy online on Facebook. I guess he's part of the After Midnight group. Never hear him on here, though, but that he's buying one of those W8MAZ, I think it is, antennas for HF, and he's going to put, or he has put, LMR-400 on. That's a bit overkill. You know, the cheaper stuff is fine for HF. When you get up into VHF, UHF, then you want the better coax.
Yeah, the equivalent to the 8X is the LMR-240.
Yeah, there's a few different LMR numbers out there. I'm not familiar with all of them. I know the LMR-400 is one of the better ones, and the price usually reflects it, though. Plus, I like to get factory-installed connectors on, because then you know it's going to be waterproof, you know, as long as you seal it up as well. But, I only put on my own connectors if I'm using it for jumpers or inside. I really don't like doing that for stuff outside, because I want it to, you know, last for a while, and I'm not that confident of my connector connections.
Yeah, they can be a bit of a bear soldering those connectors on. I'm liking these solder crimp jobs. I'm not having any problem with them. I ordered two for the RG8X, because if I was going to bring that 100-foot length down the shop, I was just going to shorten it, and I would put the crimp leave one of the other soldered connectors on outside.
My problem is always getting the solder in those four holes. For some reason, I bought a larger iron, I think an 80 or 100 watt iron, to try to do that. I might have been using the wrong iron or the wrong solder, I don't know. But I can never make it flow into those holes, as well as you see the commercially made ones, or if you watch some guy on some YouTube video do it. That's always my biggest problem. I have no problem doing everything else. Just getting the solder to flow into those holes is a real bitch.
And they're seen it and done it. They've come a long way with connectors. I know a lot of people wouldn't agree with me, but like I said before, I like these crimp ones where the ground is. You put the heat shrink over it, I haven't had a problem yet.
Kitty 2BOR N1LU. Yeah, I wouldn't hesitate to use that for inside. I don't know about outside, though.
Well, I like this Comet antenna because it's got the coax up in the tube. The coax end is not exposed.
KD2BOR N1LU mobile. Yeah, that's cool. I would still use coax seal. You have coax seal?
Antenna came with it.
Oh, that's nice. That usually doesn't happen, although I haven't bought a new antenna in years. But that's nice.
I woke up last night and listened to the CBS net for, not CBS net, the Gordon's net. But after Chris gave out his call sign and he was just listening, I fell back to sleep again and didn't hear any more of it.
Yeah, I wish they had something like that on Saturday night or something, but during the week is tough. Even when I have off on a Friday, it's tough for me to stay awake till 9 o'clock.
So when is this snow supposed to start?
I thought I would have seen some of it already. Sometime this morning, I think, rush hour, they said might be a little slickery. But it doesn't sound like it's going to amount to much.
We got to get this blazer inside before it starts snowing so I don't have it all dripping on me when I got the truck up in the air.
Give me a minute, I'm going underneath the apartment. KD2BOR N1LU mobile lower level GWB. I had salmon last night. I forgot I wanted to broil it like you did, and I ended up just my usual technique, encasing it in seasoning it and then encasing it in aluminum foil. I ended up overcooking it a little bit.
I don't mind that. Overcooked salmon a little bit, that don't bother me.
Yeah, I'd like it to have a little bit of juice to it, but it's just so hard, you know. There's no, I don't have a good technique for knowing when it's done, not overdone and not underdone. So I'd rather it be overdone than underdone.
Underdone fish, no way for me.
Yeah, I don't know how some of these people eat this sushi stuff. I like sushi to an extent, but only certain ones I like. Tuna is good, but it's got to be from a really good sushi place. But one thing I really like, unfortunately, is too salty. I really can't eat it on my diet, but it would be great, is smoked salmon. That's not cooked. It's just, you know, dry cured I guess it's just smoked. It's not really cooked, but I love that stuff. I can eat that all day long.
Me too. N1LU, KD2BOR. I'm just looking on this site about the Anytone Tri-Band. Now the next shipment radios is not going to come into March. Have you heard of anybody who's got one of these radios yet? I can't even find anything on the internet about it.
Got one yet.
Everybody I know that ordered one has not gotten it yet.
Yeah, I tell you, after all this backlogging or backpedaling, I don't know if I would order one. I don't know if they're having trouble mechanically with it or if it's just, you know, paperwork.
Hey, Rocky.
Hey, Vic.
Volkswagen U.S.